John should actually use this mic since he speaks the most, and then pass, use his as another one to pass it around. And then in turn, before the president is here.
I was thinking for now, like, just move that.
Here.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to open microphone if any member of the community has anything to say.
If any of the community members would like to come up, we can move a microphone over there. Does anyone want to speak at this time? Cool. With that, we'll be closing up the microphone.
Yes, hi.
We will not be closing over the microphone.
Wait, no.
Yeah. Harris has got it.
Yes. Can you come up and sit at the front table?
Yes.
You have to sit in front of you guys? Yeah. You can talk towards whoever you want to talk to.
Okay, yes, I'll talk to all of you.
I don't need to see.
And I was hoping President Pollack would be here with Deepa Lombardi. You know what time they're showing up?
5 p.m.
5:15. My name is Irving Torres Lopez. I am a senior in the ILR school. I am a resident of the Theo Living Center. I have been a resident of the LLC for 3 years. This is my fourth year going on as a resident of this hall. This place is my home. The Latinx community at Cornell is my home. I'm a Latino studies minor. Here at Cornell, this community is my community. I invested in my all in this community. Two nights ago, a member of the fraternity, Theta Psi, was heard chanting, "Let's build a wall around the LLC." The same day that President Trump announced his decision to rescind DACA, which is a deferred action for childhood arrivals policy, which now has stripped away 800,000 undocumented Americans. Any future to work to be educated in this country. That is a violent act that dehumanized 800,000 people who live in this country. I am appalled and I am ashamed. I thank President Pollack, who's not here, for sending her letter to President Trump and for releasing her statement. But that evening, a member of Zeta Psi said, "Let's build a wall around the LLC, or between Zeta Psi and the LLC," which was a disgusting comment, and it appalled me and it ashamed me as a member of Cornell University. I cannot believe that 24 years after Latino students took over Day Hall and demanded the construction of our current building, the LLC, and demanded a minor for us, that we're still being dehumanized and treated this way. It is unacceptable and it is unfair to me and to my members of my community. We fought and worked tooth and nail to get to this place, and we are still treated like that. And we are still told that we do not belong here. And I cannot sit here and accept that the university thinks that we are an inclusive university and a place where we're all valued, and we're still treated this way and talked to this way. It is unacceptable and unfair. So, SA, I come to you as those who are elected to represent the student body. What are you going to do and what are you going to say? I'm not sure if you said anything as of right now. I don't recall reading an email. If you sent an email, then I probably overlooked it. I'm sorry. But if you haven't, then I would like to hear what you have to say about all of this. Each and every single one of you, what you have to say about what just happened. And to me, I'm not sure if you guys have heard from any other of my community about what happened, but here I am standing before you, asking you, what are you going to say to me? And I'm asking you to listen to me and to look at me and the pain that I'm in and the pain that my community is in. And I want to know what you have to say about this and what you're going to do, because it's unfair to me. I have nothing else to add.
Would anyone from the assembly like to respond?
Thank you so much for coming. I think in your words, you said what a lot of us are feeling, and I'm here very bravely to address a body that oftentimes, most of the time, does not represent our population as Latinx students at Cornell. And I apologize that it has come to this, that we as a university don't have any clause in our code of conduct that says that hate speech like this it should be followed up with repercussions for the person who said this. It's disgusting that in this day and age, and on this very liberal campus, that there are no consequences for people who spew hate, especially in this time, this very, very trying time for all people of color. So thank you so much for coming, and I feel you very personally, very deeply, and I hope that we can work as a united body to create legislation or to fix our university policy that is deeply flawed and that fails people of color on this campus.
Representative Schott.
Hi, thanks for coming, and I think I can also get to that. Questions is for you. I think the core, like this particular instance, is a problem with the system on our campus. And if you want to prevent such things from happening in the future, then there has to be support within the IFC, and has to be action from members of such privileges, and self-policing basically. And I think I don't know how much ESA can do, but I think we should certainly work with the IFC and work with the privileges to prevent such issues from ever happening, and to make members realize how much hurt and damage their cause, they cause these actions, whether they do them publicly or privately. I think Allah has to. And I'm very sorry.
Representative Den.
Yeah, first off, let me say thank you for coming and presenting. I think it can be difficult, especially with things that are this real, this raw. And I want to express my personal, and also hopefully other members agree, like the absolute horror at seeing that this is an issue that has to be dealt with, especially in a place that's supposed to be a safe space. I can't even imagine what that would be like in my own community. And I just want to say, as someone who is Muslim and who is part of that minority, that it hits home that in a place like this, minorities can be marginalized like that. And that people will say it's just free speech, or that we need to defend that. And that's not acceptable to me. I think that we need to, as an assembly, make sure that we represent these people, that we make sure that we're doing something to at least hold Greek life to task, at least hold data to task. I hope that other members agree with me on that.
I'm gonna forfeit my chair position to John real quick. So I can't begin to imagine what it's like to be in your position, even though I am a person of color, even though I am from historically antagonized group of individuals. I can't imagine what it's like. But what I can say is that this needs to start with us. There's so many of us here within the Greek system, in the student assembly, and within the community that's here. And we need to take a stand within our own fraternities, within our own sororities, within our own MGLC communities to say that this is wrong. And so I encourage you, if you see jokes going on in your fraternity groupings, if you see people disrespecting the situation that occurred, you're a representative of the assembly. It's your job, it's our job as just decent human beings to actually stand up and say something. And I hope that each and every one of you does that when you see something going wrong, someone making fun of the situation. It's just inappropriate. But moving forward, I think there are steps that we can take as an assembly and that we have attempted to in the past. I was speaking with Dustin earlier today, and he told me that, unfortunately, that the diversity requirement that we were trying to see through last year, it was not deemed appropriate or necessary. And after the conversations that I think a lot of the assembly members have had, I see there is value in that. People that go to the pre-summer programs here, people that do end up doing intergroup dialogue projects, that changes the perspective of a lot of individuals who come from areas that are heteronormative and predominantly white in nature. And they don't understand, and even like if you come from a background where you aren't exposed to different communities, and you don't understand the perspectives or the hardships and the trials that other individuals are going through, with the diversity requirement, I see that being an opportunity for us to actually engage with people of color and people from other backgrounds. I'll be returning to my chair position. President Kim.
Hi, was it Irving?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming. First of all, I think, I don't think anyone here disagrees with what you said. This was a terrible thing that happened. I heard about it last night as well. And it's just not a good thing that what they did, right? But as far as like moving forward, right? As Bruin said, I think our assembly will broach the topic of the diverse requirement again, because I think oftentimes it's a matter of sometimes ignorance, sometimes of just ill will. But then I think definitely, educating our peers would also be a very huge step in the right direction, right, in helping solve the campus climate here. Another thing we should do is we should definitely look into engaging the fraternity system, the Greek system as well, to solve these kind of issues. That's very systematic, in my opinion. And also on your point about like our statements, right, like our form of communication. Yes, I want to fix that. The thing is, currently, for full disclosure, we don't have access to the listserv of the Cornell community. I don't know why we don't, but I will talk with the Office of the Assemblies to get that access. So when things like this happen, the Student Assembly can make our stance very clear, right? Because we are representing all of you, right? And it's our job to do our best to also make our positions clear, right, where we stand on issues such as what happened last 2 nights ago, right? So we are definitely going to take action.
Representative Ball.
So again, just wanted to thank you, as well as the community members that I see now, who have come forward and addressed what happened 2 minutes ago. On our campus, but in our national campus. So thank you for coming forward. Talk about this and address us in this space in order to may not really go up. I do wish that we have President Paul here already. And obviously, I think this is something that we should figure out with her later on in our agenda. Because this is an important discussion that needs to happen. This isn't the first issue like this on our campus, and unfortunately, I don't think it'll be the last. The Student Assembly as a body doesn't need to be proactive. It's best to ensure that we can stop these incidents from happening and sort of guarantee that when these incidents do happen, that there are repercussions. I know a lot of individuals have already touched on trying to interact with the community, and I do think important that we try to work with the Tri-Council on this. So I an email from IFC earlier today that mentioned that Tri-Council is already starting to reach out to administration to kind of discuss this incident and discuss protocols before. But I do want to say that I think this issue goes beyond just the Greek system. I think this is something that's relevant to our entire community. I think we shouldn't be allowed in any circle, whether you're in Greek life or not. And I think that every student that comes to Cornell, freshmen, transfers, everyone, people who've been here for several years already, everyone needs to be aware that hate speech is not going to be tolerated on campus, and student assembly will not tolerate constituencies, our peers, our friends being threatened.
Representative Anderson.
I'm gonna swear a bit because I'm pissed off. It's disgusting. You know, this isn't new. This issue has been happening. The idea of the fraternity was born in white supremacy. That is literally the crux of the problem. The fraternity organization was born in the idea of white supremacy. This has been happening at Cornell forever. But the only reason we're addressing this now is because of Donald Trump being in the White House. This has been happening no matter what, forever. And this is finally the time that we have to step up. You know, for so long, I think I've only been here a year, but for so long, the student assembly hasn't wanted to deal with the Greek system because guess what? A third of Cornell is dealt in Greeks. I don't think some assembly members had the spine ever to really go after them and say, what you're doing is wrong. Now is the time for us to actually say what you're doing is wrong. I think it's so stupid. We're so focused on getting reelected all the time. I think that's dumb. Stand up for something and fight for it. This is the time where we can actually say, this was wrong. You have to change the system. You have to get students involved who you don't care about before. This isn't new. Career community has been hearing this forever. I have members of my community who literally don't get into fraternities because they don't want someone who's gay. That's disgusting. That's the first thing we have to realize, how disgusting it is. Now we actually have to go out and see, you know, what you've been doing systematically has been wrong for years. We have to go and fix that. I don't know the steps to necessarily fix it myself, but I know it's going to start with us. Because if it doesn't, if we don't make any change from this day forward, don't vote for us again. Because we fail the community if we don't change anything. Go out to your constituencies and figure out the true problems that they have. Don't make them come to us all the time. Go out. Do something that's right, because for so long we haven't been doing what's right. I'm fed up with it. That's why I ran, is because I've been angry. So many people at this school have been angry for so long and we just ignored it. There's no ignoring it anymore. It's here, it's been at our doorstep for a while and we've just been putting it off. Now is the time to finally act. I'm sick of it.
Representative Maglior.
So I'm going to mention right now, I'm going to know that if I was in this situation, I would have expectations for trying to talk to people like this. Statements are great and kind of solidarity. I think it's time to move even beyond that and start getting actual things in these universities. I think we can only go so far, and I think it's time to be asking about what people like that colleague of Lombardi, administrators, facilitators in different fraternities, within the religious organizations, and actually starting to get things happen. Because I know this. You're a person of color, like fucking drug, and like, especially on this campus, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, something like this might happen, will probably happen again. And so until we actually start stepping up and not that we're saying anything, because people of color in this community have been saying things, and I'm pretty sure the only difference now is that, like, some people are hearing us, or some people are also outraged. And so we need to get the same outrage and same anger into everyone else on this assembly so that we can actually do something.
Representative Senna.
I would like to thank you and everyone else for coming. I know this must be really hard. For you and for a lot of people, especially the people who were targeted by those racist basketball two nights ago. And I just wanna say like a couple of things. Like, this is not an isolated incident. I mean, we had someone say the N-word in the Greek system here at Cornell winter break and nothing really happened. So statements are great, but they're not great when there are no consequences. I think at Cornell, we are, you know, we talk about freedom of speech. And with that, it's such a broad statement where we actually validate racist statements. And it actually sucks because you're coming to student assembly and where honestly, like, people in this assembly are racist too. So, and you're coming and asking us, what are we gonna do when the same people that you're trying to talk to help, you know, the oppressor stop oppressing are actually part of the problem. And I also wanna go back and say, yes, we do need education, but these men are grown-ass men at an Ivy League university with access to Google. They can Google what racism is. And we're putting the emotional labor on students of color to tell people not to be racist in 2017. And that's a problem. Cornell is not a liberal campus. Cornell is full of racist, xenophobic, just sexist people. And like, you know, the Elon Barbie's thing that says, you know, he recognized the right to open expression. That's not open expression, that's just fucking racism. And I'm angry because my time here at Cornell for the past 3 years, we've all been victims of this. And every time we try to speak up, people always try to, you know, shut us down. And there's never real consequences because I'm pretty sure, you know, the person who says it is gonna go to the real world, they're gonna get a job, or they're gonna continue the cycle of oppression because it's happened over and over again. And before we can say as student assembly, we need to do something, we need to look at ourselves and look at how we perpetrate anti-Blackness, how we are xenophobic in our own work, in our own thing. Because it's great that the student assembly might release a statement, but what's the point of releasing a statement if you're gonna propose vote for a resolution that continues to oppress people? We need to look at ourselves. And I'm sorry that you had to come through a group of people that continues to oppress, you know, us. And I'm really, really sorry. And as a a person of color on this young family, it's really fucking hard. Every time we bring up something about racism, we're like, nah, that's not racist. So I think, yes, we do need to talk about racism on campus. We need to talk about racism on this student assembly, because this is not a personal attack or anything, but this is just the fucking truth.
With that, we'll be closing open microphone. President Pollock, VP Lombardi, if you would like to join us. And VP Molina.
Once again, as President Pollock is speaking, if you would like to be on the speaker's list, please raise your placards. For community members, if you guys would like to speak, Sarah's going to go around with the speaker's list.
Welcome everybody to the new year. I want to start by acknowledging that it has been an extraordinarily difficult period, not just on this campus, but in this country. We had the horrible episode in Charlottesville just a few weeks ago. We had hurricanes that have devastated the homes of some of our students in Texas, and now students in the Caribbean, in Puerto Rico, in Florida, and other areas. We had the timeline just devastating announcement with DACA. And then, of course, we had the events just night before last at the LLC that I see. I see your name, I'm sorry. JL was speaking to. It is a difficult time in this country. It's a time when I shouldn't say I haven't experienced anything like it. When I was a child in the 60s, it was a little bit like this. We are seeing persistent patterns of racism, as was said, but it seems to be escalating. And I had a really wonderful but difficult conversation earlier today with some of our Muslim students and some of our Latinx students. We're just gonna have to work together. We're gonna have to recognize that this is very hard. Don't want to put the work on the students who find it most difficult. I do want to hear from them because I don't want to presume that I know what you're feeling. I don't want to take away from that. I do, however, want to spend just 1 minute talking about some of the good things that are also happening on campus, because I think it is important that as we confront really bad things, we also try to remember what is good. Cornell Tech is opening next week, and I think there will be many opportunities for students from this campus to go back and forth between the city and Ithaca. I think there are wonderful cultural opportunities that opens up. There's a fabulous new first year class. I can't believe how strong the incoming class is. It is also more diverse than the class we've had today. I've been working very closely with Vice President Lombardi and with Provost Kalikoff on a set of activities specifically around diversity, which I know is on top of mind today. And within, I'd say, two to three weeks, we're trying to pin down some external funding in advance of this, but within about 2 or 3 weeks, you will all be getting an email listing a number of specific actions. I think we have a dual responsibility. We have a responsibility of words to express support, to say when we are horrified things. We also have a responsibility to take specific actions. And within a couple of weeks, as soon as I can hopefully pin down some additional external funding, you'll be getting a message about that. And finally, I want to say, I'm still pretty new here. I've only been here about 4 months. Since the new semester started, I've had just a great opportunity to go around and visit different schools and colleges. I was at Cal's today. I've been to the business school. I've been to human ecology. I've been to art, architecture, and design. And the work that is going on, the work that the students are doing is really exciting. Today at Cal's, I got to see everything from work on turf science to orchid growing to decoding the genome. And the sense one gets over and over and over is how much our students want to change the world for better. So I thank you for your time. I thank Student Assembly. I know you all are extraordinarily busy as students doing your academics in the
faculty. Thank you, President Pollack. We want to do questions.
Sure.
So first of all, from the community, Reshma. Okay, you go to just go ahead. Oh, can someone get a microphone?
I guess just as a freshman here at Cornell University, just coming here, when I stepped the first time I stepped on campus for diversity week, I already felt like it was a lot. Honestly, I wasn't gonna commit to Cornell at all. I didn't know. I felt really, really weird being here because I knew, like, from the moment I stepped on, you hear microaggressions. And microaggressions, though they're not intended to have knowledge most of the time, like, where are you from, really? Like, really, where are you from? Like, those are not supposed to be, like, intended knowledge, but, like, blatant racism. Like, I have to deal with a lot of different things in LA, from hearing, like, build the wall in LA. I go to a lot of protests. My community is all, like, immigrants. A lot of us are undocumented in Los Angeles. And to think that you come 2,000 miles from home, and then you still see these things, and you still hear them, and then you just don't know what to do, and you feel like, you can live at the Latino Living Center, you can live at Ujima, you can live at any of these residential buildings, but you're still attacked at these places, and you wonder where a safe place exists. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it's just like comments, they won't hurt you, like comments, but these comments have the rhetoric that we're listening to is not new, and it continues to build up. We're deporting people like every single day because of the rhetoric. Rhetoric does matter. Rhetoric goes so far in our country, and we can't just miss one comment by saying, oh, it was just a joke. Yeah, jokes go far. Jokes, like, there are people who are in jail because of jokes. People like rhetoric, like, Black lives are in, like, they're continually targeted just because of these jokes that we see on the internet, like these memes and all these things, and we cannot keep dismissing them. They're just like statistically, like, I don't know, I honestly don't know what to say, and I just feel like, though I can have a community of people, it's so hard. I should feel safe everywhere on this campus, but I don't. not even where I'm supposed to. And I just really don't know what to do. And sometimes I'm just, yeah, like, people talk about it right now, and then we won't do anything. And it sucks. And I'm so, like, I'm just very conflicted. And I'm very conflicted, and I'm very confused at what to do. And I just don't, like, this is the part of home I want to leave at home, but it's here. And I don't know.
Next, Christopher.
Hi, my name is Christopher Morales. I am a transfer sophomore here, so this is my first semester at Cornell. However, I transferred from Ithaca College, so it is not, the Ithaca area is not new to me. I know of the issues that are happening around. This being one of the incidents, not only happening here on Cornell campus, but has happened repeatedly on the Ithaca College campus as well. As a person who identifies with the Latinx community as a son of two Mexican immigrants, I'm very fortunate that I was born in this country and that I have a lot of privileges that a lot of others who are like me, who want to continue to learn, want to contribute to the society, that they are overlooked, that they are hated on. And that frustrates me. And so when I heard about this incident, even though I am not directly living in the LLC community, I know that they welcome me greatly. I have spoken with their members, and they are all wonderful people. I was looking over a lot of the emails and a lot of the statements that were made today by all sorts of organizations, and I know that the Asociación Latina Executive Board, in their ending of their statement, left a specific list of demands that Black Students United also reinforced. So, in the practice of journalism, I know that when a journalist is reaching out to a person of higher power and authority, you'll ask them a question, and sometimes they don't want to respond to it directly. They will try to go around and try to divert away from it. But my direct question to you, President Pollack, and to the Cornell administration is, have you looked at these demands? Will you respond to them, and how soon?
Yes, and let me also say that after I answer this question, because there are so many people that want to speak, what I would prefer to do rather than answer each individual question, I want to answer your question directly, is let people speak and then save me, you know, when it gets to be 3 or 4 minutes before the end, let me respond all at once because otherwise I fear there won't be time. I want to hear what people have to say. The answer to your question is, yes, I received a list. I heard about the episode very late last night. I was at Cal all morning. I was in close contact with Vice President Lombardi as he was crafting his message, and we were texting back and forth. I don't have a response for you today. I need time. We're still gathering facts. We're still gathering information. We will respond, but I'm not prepared to respond today. Some of the things in there I could respond directly to, but I would rather give a thoughtful, comprehensive response once we've had more than, you know, 6 or 7 hours.
Thank you.
President Pollack, what time do you have to leave?
I have to leave at 5:45.
5:45. I'm gonna do community members first, and then Sylvia.
Hi, my name is Sylvia. I'm an e-board member of Asociación Latina. I am also a current member of the Dream Team. So what I keep hearing today from different same members and a couple of just repeated questions, okay, we support you, we understand the problem, but we're not willing to do anything about it. Because you can tell us, you know, we understand the problem, we're sorry this happened to you, but I'm seeing no action to correct the problem, I'm seeing no action to create an honor code, I'm seeing no action from anyone today to help us prevent this from happening again. If there is no repercussions to any member of this community when they're harming other and targeting other student organizations or populations on this campus, it's not going to stop. And I want that to be known. It's not going to stop. It's not gonna, you're not going to fix racism with a couple of statements. You're not going to fix racism with a diversity training because it's not going to help. And we need like concrete repercussions for people. We need some steps. We need to talk to the JA. We need to make sure that they understand that a lot of these things are actually being very harmful. There's very broad statements in the code of conduct that have been used by this administration to bring repercussions to other members of this community, but I don't see any statements used in order to help our communities. And this is what hurts me today. And I know this is not a repeated, like, this is not just a single incident. I've been here, I started in fall 2013. Every semester we have dealt with something like this. When I was first a freshman, we dealt with Cinco de Octubre, when the athletics department was dressing up in ponchos and telling people to dress as Mexican for competition. I mean, I'm tired of it, and I'm sure the rest of us are tired of just asking the same thing. You know, if I had graduated on time, I would have seen absolutely zero progress in the protection of our communities. It's the same, sorry for my language, bullshit happening every semester. And I'm sure that administrators know what's happening to other parts of our community and how they're being targeted. And it's very similar to what's happening to the Latinx community, but it's another community that our administration knows about. And I'm talking directly to Vice President Lombardi. You know that there's nothing that can be done to help us in either case. And this is incredibly frustrating. And we're more than done asking just for a moment of pity. Like, I'm done with it. And I'm sure the rest of us are done with it. And we need to see results now. And I'm sorry that you only have a couple of hours. I know you met with some of the LAL members today. And just for transparency, it would be great if you could also take a moment to share some of what you felt came out of that meeting, just for transparency. Yeah.
I will do that at the end.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Thank you. Irving?
Hello, Lady Lombardi. Hello, President Pollack. I mean, I already gave the essay my spiel. I just want to reiterate what Sylvia said. Yes, that's what I heard today. I heard a lot of I'm sorry. I don't care about what you, your sympathy. I don't care about your sympathy. We don't care about your sympathy. We want you to do something. I hear I'm sorry all the time constantly, and you sit here at your tables with your name plaques and your suits and your nice haircuts and jawlines. I want you to do something. I want you to do something. I'm aware of the petty politics that go on in this space. I don't care about your sympathy. I want action. And segue, I'm only going to be on this campus for one more year. So you're only my VP and my president for one more year. I'm concerned about those in my community who just got here. Because I had to sit that night in my main lounge and watch folks who just got here cry. Spent 2 weeks on this campus and already in pain and already under attack. I had to sit there as a member of my community and a leader in my community and watch these people, just got here, younger people who we have already grown to love and care about, cry and feel attacked and dehumanized the same day that 800,000 other people in this country were dehumanized in this protest. My community was supposed to dissatisfied with your statement. You were completely dissatisfied with your statement. It's utter, frankly, administrative bullshit. We don't care about your statements. We don't care. I want you to do something. I want you to act. President Pollack, you just got here. I understand that. It's a hell of a month to have been here. I love it to have been here and deal with this. Moving forward, because that's the phrase that I heard a lot from people here, moving forward, what are you going to do moving forward for however long your tenure lasts for the students who just got here and those who are going to get here next year? Yeah, understood. Yeah. That's all I have.
Drake?
Hello, everyone. My name is Rick Avila. Can
you speak closer to that, please?
Hello, everyone. My name is Rick Avila. I'm a freshman. Just got here. First, I'm going to say I am white passing. Half Mexican, but I'm not yet. So, better or worse, I don't have to go up against the racism that members of my community do every day. And I like everyone else in this room, came here to work. And when things like what happened 2 days ago happen, I can't learn. I can't focus. And that's me who doesn't go through the phase of racism that those in my community who are the targets of those who say things. And understand that this came at a horrible moment for our community. Our community was bought with knees yesterday. We have friends. I have friends who are DACA. I have family members who are DACA. Other Latinos at the school have friends who are DACA, have family members who are undocumented. This isn't just about us feeling terrible, feeling sad. This is about us not being able to do what we came here to do because we feel terrible, because we feel sad. Simply concentrate on studying when you hear build a wall outside of the Latino Center. We cannot concentrate on studying and getting the degrees we came here to get to better our communities, better our nation, if we hear that. So please consider that. That's all.
Thank you. Hennessy?
Hi, my name is Hennessy Pineda, and I've been here for more than 3 weeks because I attended the PSP program, the pre-freshman summer program. And over the couple of weeks that I've been here, I'll be honest, it's not the first time that I've seen discrimination. My first day of classes at Cornell University, somebody told me, do not rally, do not protest, but instead show us. Show me that by being a Latina and by being Black, just be a lawyer, be a doctor, prove yourself to me. Don't use your words, but instead prove yourself. It's not okay. It's not okay that we can't be heard. Our words are not being heard, but instead it's just constant apology. I'm sorry that you have to go through this. I'm sorry that you're Latina. I'm sorry that you're Black. No, don't be sorry that we were born this way, but instead be sorry that our community isn't accepting of people of color. Our community isn't accepting of people who are Latina who identify to these marginalized groups. Like, what are you going to do? If I don't feel safe in this community, I have to spend another 4 years here, and I don't feel safe. I chose Cornell for diversity and inclusion. That's why I'm here, because I heard that you guys were diverse and inclusive, and you have not shown me that. Show me that you're diverse and you're inclusive. Like, I don't want to be here if you're going to show me that, you know, I can't be myself, and I can't identify, and I can't be this strong woman of color. What are you going to do? How are you going to show diversity at Cornell University? How?
Thank you. So that's it from the community members. We're going to go to the SA speakers list. For that, can representatives speak for only 30 seconds, because we have a long list, and we have like 3-4 minutes left. Alec?
Hi, thank you very much indeed. I understand both of your jobs are very, very difficult. So I don't want to hold anything against you about knowing the full spectrum of what happened, what your thought processes was when you sent out that message. Before I attended Cornell, I worked for Congress full time. Donald Trump came and visited the district that I represented down in Texas. At that point, it was comedic, but this obviously really hit home for obvious reasons. I'm also Hispanic, and I just wanted to read the differences in messages between BSU and the one from the administration. So we, the members of the Black Students United, at Cornell University stand in solidarity with the residents of the LLC, the LAL, and the members of the Latinx community, as well as any other student who has been strongly impacted by these heinous remarks from Zetabon. On the night of Wednesday, September 6th, residents of the LLC heard people chanting, "Let's build a wall around the LLC," coming from the direction of the fraternity. That, in comparison to, it has come to my attention that in the early hours yesterday, in the proximity of the LLC on North Campus, vocal comments were projected about building a wall. While I appreciate that an individual has come forward to accept responsibility and apologize for the actions, I recognize rights of open expression. I'm concerned about what is a continued pattern of marginalization of many members of the Cornell community. the differences in language there is very disheartening because it allows room for these people to justify what they've done. For me, that's really alarming, especially when the Cornell-san went as far as to say, this is, by the way, the fraternity member that did do this sent an email to the LLC saying, yeah, I did this, I'm sorry. But that the Cornell-san reports this as fraternity member allegedly chants build a wall, allegedly. And that's so hard to hear administration say, your voices matter, but then have us minimized at the same time. And President, you mentioned Technion, which is troubling in and of itself, but SJP, also a very hard minority group on campus, rallied very hard against the very troubling ties that Technion has with arms and research and manufacturing in Israel, the Palestinian conflict. And they were called terrorists, not necessarily by the administration, but they were definitely frowned upon. And so this is something that happens over and over again, where we talk we have a voice, but we try to execute that, not listen to it, the struggle. And lastly, and just a semantic note, but it's architecture and planning, not design. It's important. No worries, no worries. But thank you for being here.
We have 5 minutes left, Ms. Paula. Would you like to use that, or would you like to hear one more?
May I go ahead?
Yeah.
So I am going to start with language. I do hear that you don't want to hear I'm sorry, and if I was stopping with I'm sorry, I wouldn't say it, but I think it would not be right for me not to express how outraged and angry I'm sorry I am, and Vice President Lombardi is. I don't mean this as an excuse on the message, but I do want you to appreciate we felt we needed to get something out fast. We had just gotten out the documents. And I want to go beyond messages, but I want to say to this group that I am beyond devastated and beyond disgusted by what happened. And I need to say that's the first thing. And I also want to acknowledge that this is a repeated incident. I don't want in any way to minimize the very real anger, the very real impact it has, the ability not to concentrate, the ability to survive, all these things you're saying. I'm an engineer by training. I like to take concrete steps. So messaging is important, saying something is important, but I like to take concrete steps. That is, for example, what we try to do with Dasha. We try not just to say, although we're also saying that we denounce it, we are also working for legislative solutions. We also try to list concrete steps. For example, financial aid programs, new staff support, all these things. It has only been a few hours, and I don't have a response to the question yet of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. We are looking into both immediate things like holding the fraternities responsible and ensuring that they put in place more programs to understand what their members are facilitating. This was also, I know, one of the issues in the set of the letter from the LLC, facilitating conversations between neighbors. And then also more broadly, because this is a repeated issue, and I think it would be a mistake to focus on this one issue, serious investments in things like increasing faculty of color. We don't have enough faculty of color. I heard today, I didn't know this before, this was one of the reasons I was very glad to meet that other group, that the same thing is true of our counselors, so we don't have enough counselors. So we need to look into that. We hear over and over again about space issues. I will be honest, that's not something we can turn around overnight. It's very expensive. But we do know about the very serious space issues for different groups. And I'm not going to promise you we'll have a solution to that in 2 weeks, but we are working for that. We're also looking to invest in a number of programs that provide real meaningful support. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example from DACA, because that's what we're doing at the time. We understand that there are DACA students right now who need to apply almost immediately for a renewal of their documents. They may not have the money. We're making some emergency money available. I can't sit here and say to you that I have all the answers on this yet. I need to do this in a nuanced and thoughtful way. But that's what we're looking for. I'm not going to stop saying I'm sorry. It would be wrong of me to ignore that part of the message. And I, like the freshman back there, part of the reason I came to Cornell was because I am committed to this stuff. This is work I did at the University of Michigan. This is work I want to do here. I'm not always going to get it right. And I ask you to work with me on that, because I'm not always going to get it right. but that's what we're looking forward towards is concrete steps that can help make it. I don't think it's ever, you know, unfortunately the way the world is right now, I wish more than anything I could sit here and say, oh, this will never happen again. I would be wrong. We live in a world that's pretty, pardon my language, but I'll say messed up, pretty messed up. But we need to do everything we can on this campus. And who is the Ithaca College student? And in this community, I've been working with the local leaders, but I've had one meeting and I have another meeting with the local leaders in this community to support everybody. That's really what I have to say.
Thank you so much, President Pollack. Thank you for your time. I'm sure everyone appreciates it.
Thank you very much.
So we cut short open microphone because President Pollack came, but we could reopen it. If any member of the community wants to speak again or just you, please feel free to do so. So. Yes, open microphone. Sarah, someone. Yeah. Oh. Okay, if no one wants to go to Mike, we're gonna go to announcement reports. Lee?
Thank you.
Yeah,
no. I think we should bypass some of this. Yeah. How's it going, everybody? So, sorry I'm late. I'm actually going to be taking over for the next one, but I just want to notify everybody I'm doing a turnover with David. He didn't come today, and I had a job interview today, so I can't apologize for my being late. So. Wait, let me send you guys out.
I think you're at the wrong assembly.
I was given this room number, but the person was supposed to So David Cox messaged me. The thing is, currently there is no ex officio seat for veterans. He wanted to discuss that with me.
Oh, he wanted to discuss it with
me? Yes. He gave me different information. I see. Yeah, no, you know. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can talk about more.
Yeah, we can talk about more.
I apologize for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we should open microphone again.
Okay, we can reopen open microphone.
We're gonna go off book and we're gonna open it for assembly members as well. TJ.
So I think it's pretty clear that President Pollack's statement or her address to everything that was brought up by all the community members that came out was not adequate. That was pretty clear to me just looking around the room. What she said, while encouraging, didn't seem to provide like sufficient steps, like concrete steps that the administration is actually going to take. So what I was going to say before I went back, so I'm just going to like re-encourage the community members to voice the concerns that they still have even after her statement, so that we, the student assembly, can take the actions that the, or try to work towards the actions that the administration right now isn't prepared to take. Because that's our responsibility as students, as representatives of the students. And now that they've already left, I think we need to follow up, we need to reach out to the LLCs, the LAL, the ESU, and see what we can do, what we can work towards with the administration that they're not already taking steps towards. Because again, I don't think what President Pollack just said was sufficient, as respectful as it was.
Representative Dim.
All right, thank you. So President Pollack mentioned in the beginning about a meeting she had earlier today with Muslim students and with members of the Latinx community. I was at that meeting and I can say personally after leaving it, something that was clear to everyone is that the administration really isn't gonna do anything he'll just release more statements. He'll say freedom of speech and are protected. I think it really falls on us as an assembly to do something. I think we heard these incredible calls to action right now from our constituents saying that they don't just want sympathy, they want action. I think that it's on us to hold specifically the IFC accountable. I think I request the rest of the assembly that we need to do something. Let them know that things like this aren't acceptable, that repercussions will be brought against them, even if it's not brought from the administration, at least from the assembly, at least from other students, because we were elected by other students. That's our job. And we need to hold IFC accountable and let them know that things like this in their community aren't acceptable, and that if it happens again, there will be serious repercussions.
An Natalia
I'm a resident of the LLC and also a freshman. And obviously, I don't speak on behalf of the entire Latinx community or on behalf of the entire Latinx community. But the student assembly writes resolutions every other day for this and that. A simple resolution just to change the code of conduct or to change something, something that can just hold people accountable so that this doesn't keep happening, is really all we want to see. Because statements are statements. And I know that I'm just echoing what every other person has said at this point, but it is very tiring, especially when I have friends or messaging me telling me that they might even transfer out of Cornell, freshmen, mind you, who picked Cornell because of diversity, and we're just tired of this. I've been here more than 7 weeks, actually, because I did PSD also, and my first day, I also got one of those comments like, oh, you're Latina, I can hear it in your accent. It's that kind of thing that you don't want to hear where you're just trying to graduate, you're just trying to go to an institution to learn. So I just, any person, any study doesn't always feel like that.
Thank you for your comment. You mentioned that yesterday, last night at a Breaking Bread, and I really appreciate that because it's something that, like, the lack of consequences for hate speech and for hate crimes and things of that nature significantly affect people of color and minorities on this campus and underrepresented students on this campus. But just have a point of clarification, Matt and I have actually been in talks with Jordan Berger, our last president, and some other people who graduated last year who have had conversations with VA and administrators to talk about changing the code or to amending it, to creating a certain guidelines for an honor code or a bullying policy. So I invite all of you to work with us because it's just me and Matt right now. And it's Dream Team and it's LAL, but it's all of the emotional labor that people of color have to put in on this campus needs to be, the labor needs to be equally balanced. And right now, the labor is not on you when it should be.
So, as University Assembly representative, University Assembly will vote on code of conduct, and I will be pushing now the University Assembly to work harder. Right now, the CJC only meets once every 2 weeks. Battaglia is saying, Battaglia, who's the chair, Matt Battaglia, who's the chair of the CJC, was thinking of going to every week. I'm going to push him to do that. I'm going to push that to do with that with my committee as well, the Campus Welfare Committee, to make sure that we start doing more. Right now, I'm going to push the bodies that haven't been doing work to do more work. University Assembly, I'm going to push it. Some of their members aren't ready to go faster. We're going to go faster because right now is not the time to sit down and wait for a while, wait for something to happen. We need to be more proactive. So I'm going to start making my committee do more work. I'm going to push for other people's committees to do more work on the University Assembly because that's the work that really needs to be done. People are saying we need the honor code. We need a code of conduct change. That's going to be coming from the University Assembly. And I'm going to push them so they can listen for once, because my greatest issue with the University Assembly, it doesn't listen sometimes. It's very insulated. That's its main issue, and that's the issue that I have. I know some people don't agree with that. I know some people don't think the University Assembly should go out more, but I do. So I'm going to start pushing other people to do so, because right now it is not the time for us to sit around and wait and do all this. And really, I want to hear from some people who are part of the IFC, who are part of Greek life on this campus. What do you have to say? IFC is part of your community. Members are part of our community. Say more. Because right now I'm outside. A lot of people don't want to take me seriously in the Greek community because I'm outside. I don't know how it works. How does it work? Let me know.
next is Matt Weor.
Most of the people left already, but everyone who said that they actually cared, to support the NACA event, I'll be writing letters to representatives and calling them and starting to make them. There's also a rally tomorrow at 12, so there's a lot also here. But I also just wanted to make a note of all the people who haven't said anything yet who supposedly care. I'd also like to, if I have any time left, be able to talk to them.
Sure.
Good. Can I sit down?
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Renee Alexander, and I'm an alumna of the university, which is more important than the fact that I'm an administrator, because I have a history of what you all are still experiencing at Cornell University. I got here in the fall of 1970. I graduated in 1974. And I want you to know, I called my college roommate today to let her know about this incident at the LLC. And it was our consensus that things haven't changed very much. There have been some significant changes, but the structural, systemic changes that we need to make have not happened. And it's really not Cornell's fault, it's society's fault. Society's problems show up on this campus. And as we have gotten, and I keep hearing the word diverse, and we tout the fact that our enrollment is more diverse every year, and it is, but people show up with their preconceived notions, their stereotypical attitudes, their biases. They have grown up in a racist America, and people don't change just because they set foot on this campus. So what can the university do? President Pollack offered some solutions, and those are very helpful, but they don't go to the root of systemic racism. So what can we do as a university? I believe we are missing the mark. Hiring more counselors will help, but it's all reactive. We have to be more proactive on this campus. And how do we do that? I believe that we should begin to work on people the minute they set foot on this campus in their residential communities at Cornell University. There has to be a way for us to design something for people to go through. I mean, it could be a mini intergroup dialogue project at the very beginning, some module, some something that begins to raise people's consciousness, because it's not going to change until we do. Like I said, I have a perspective that none of you have, because I was here when the racial climate on this campus was so thick you could cut it with a knife, and people were divided into racial communities. You have to remember, too, that there are allies. Not everyone is a racist jerk on this campus, but this is America. We have been receiving racialized, white supremacist, black inferiority comments since the day you were born, because that is what our society does. What are we going to do with that? Okay? I am optimistic. You all understand the kind of work that I do. I am optimistic, but the reality is we have to change our approach to helping people lift their consciousness. And you're not going to resolve it all, okay? But we do. We have to find a way to hold people accountable, but we have to help people change their. Thank you.
This is Vernon.
So, thank you, Dr. Renee. One of the things that Dr. Renee just mentioned is the idea of being proactive rather than reactive. And I think we as an assembly, the way that these meetings are structured are very reactionary. These aren't Like when we sit here, we aren't here to come up with a solution to a new problem. We're here to look at solutions that we've already derived, or we're here to respond to messages or make statements. And I think it's stupid. This isn't how the real world works. If you go into tech, if you go into consulting, you like get together and bless you, you say, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. This is a problem that we need to prevent in the future. And you get all the stakeholders present. You get them together and say, how do we address this? And so moving forward, I hope that people are willing to attend, if we do have them, like sprint planning meetings, to attend like proactive meetings so we can discuss how we solve these problems. For instance, if we want to work with Residential Student Congress on creating an intergroup dialogue project program, then we need to work together and we need to say, hey, like maybe that's not the best way to do this. Maybe a diversity requirement is the best way to do this. But sitting here, this isn't the environment where we actually solve these things. And I'm like I'm gonna be sending out an email and I'm gonna request people to meet on like Sunday or something. And I hope that people come so we can actually solve these problems. Rep Park.
Okay, so a bunch of people were talking about like repercussions, what we can actually do. I don't talk about this because the UA has jurisdiction over the CJC, and I mean over the code, and I'm on the CJC, and we actually edited the code. We had a meeting yesterday, 2 days ago, yesterday, actually about something similar, about revising the length of time that we can suspend an organization. Right now it's only a single year. We were thinking about increasing it, but the issue here is that all fraternity and Greek life, like that is like, they have their whole other office. Like they're not recognized, I'm not really sure the distinction, but the code doesn't have full jurisdiction over them, but I think they're recognized by the university. So I think he's correcting me as we do this, so I'll go to you.
Okay, so basically yesterday the CJC met and discussed a kind of just a rough draft of a proposed code amendment. It was not motivated by this at all, but it is tangentially related, which is essentially a code amendment to allow the judicial administrator discretion in her authority to suspend organizations. Instead of limiting it to only a year, we would expand it to basically, you know, be either greater than a year or an indefinite period of time. So that's essentially something that the CJC is already considering. Joe, we have already agreed that we're going to try to meet every week. Thanks for bringing that up. Just to kind of draw out the distinction between a university recognized and a university registered organization, a university registered organization would be something like the Student Assembly or an SAFC funded organization. Greek Life is specifically not currently under that category. Greek Life fraternities and sororities are university recognized organizations, which means the university has a specific policy in the Office of Sorority and Fraternity Life that discusses what the like requirements and benefits of being recognized are. And I'm just pointing this out there that it says in the document, and you can look it up, like just go to, sorority campus and community engagement. You can look this up. The president does have the ability to like revoke recognition of fraternities that are recognized by the university at will. And that is very different from the rights afforded to university registered organizations, which are outlined under the campus code of conduct. So just thought I'd throw all that out there.
Representative Barbaria, Vice President Barbaria.
Sarah pretty much covered everything I wanted to say. For those of you who this haven't been made clear,
the Campus Code of Conduct is a document that all amendments to it have to go through a University Assembly Committee, which Sarah herself sits on. This year, they were planning on reviewing the document as a whole to make other changes. And if there is any time in this university's history where you would want to discuss specific changes, like adding amendments to make hate speech not allowed in some form, then this would be the year to discuss that. That's all.
Representative Hertz.
So I would just like to self-identify as part of the problem, because as much as I don't go out and make racist comments, I haven't been doing enough or anything really to combat what's been going on campus. I would also like to bring to the assembly the fact that we have addressed a resolution that wanted to bring more conservative faculty members. We spent time discussing it. We spent a good chunk of time, and we have never discussed bringing more people of color or more marginalized groups to campus. So the fact that we had this and we wasted like at least an hour discussing it is mind blowing to me. And I just also want to say, as someone who sat on the CJC, I think good intentions, increasing time of suspension does nothing to actually prosecute the people who said build a wall 2 nights ago. They, as beyond the Greek community, they're a member of the Cornell community. We can penalize them. We might not have the authority to penalize all of Zeta Psi. We have the authority to penalize one student for making a racist comment that clearly brought a huge community to tears when they were already on their knees. I would just like to hold the rest of the student assembly accountable, that we are part of the problem, not the solution.
Representative Valdez.
I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but I have a lot on my mind, so I'm going to take time. I kind of want to address the issue of how the entire Cornell community, and specifically people, students of color, how they see us as a body. As you saw today, it's not in a positive light at all. And so being a person of color, a woman of color on the assembly is hard enough, but when you represent a community which ties you to this organization and constantly questions your motives, it is not because of me, and it's not because of the people of color in this room. It's because of the people in this group who do nothing. That makes us as a whole look bad. There is a huge difference in the amount of time that we put into our constituents among all members. A lot of us, our GPAs are shit because we spend so much time trying to make this organization better when our efforts are often futile because others aren't doing the same and others aren't backing us up. So as members, I invite you to listen to us, and I know that maybe me being a woman of color and the way that I talk, you might assume that I'm too loud or too emotional or not professional enough is something that I was called. So look past that, look deep inside of you and recognize the ingrained racist beliefs that you hold, and hold yourself accountable and hold others accountable on this body so that the people of color on this body don't have to be doing all the work.
Representative Cabell, or Cabell, how do you pronounce your name?
It's Cabell.
Cabell, thank you.
I think it's really sad how, just like to echo how angry they were with us. That's sad on our parts. It's a reflection of like what we've been doing, like doing that in the past. And so I think that one thing that a lot of Cornell students are afraid of, since they're clearly not afraid of being racist, is they're really afraid of like their futures and how they're going to come across to like their jobs and internships. So I think one thing that, well, I'm not sure if we're like allowed to like release names. I don't know if they already did that or anything. For like safety or whatever, or another thing that we could do is, I don't know if this goes on your record or if there's like a hate incident that can go on your record, but like people like if we have these like scary things in place that people know are going to affect their future, they're going to like take a second. Like, I don't think any amount of education or anything is going to change. Like someone who said something like this is clearly like the way they think, like that's not going to change, but we can make them scared to, you know, act on these things and say them loud and just like make them keep it to themselves. I think. So.
I wish I had a chance to talk with Mark Pollock here just because, like, I just wanted to say this. I think you all are super brave to have spoken up and to say what you guys have wanted. And I also want to say that I also think it's super brave to ask her on the spot, what are you going to do? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I was in her spot. I wouldn't know what to have said. I wouldn't know what to done because the community is so hurt, not because of just this campus, because of such institutionalized systems that are in place. And I feel like what we needed to tell her more than anything was that, I'm sorry, it's been so long, it's starting to leave me. Y'all really got to look at this corner more often in terms of going around. But just that what we need is that right now, we kind of have faith in her because she's been somewhat proactive. We needed to let her know today, and I think people need to email her, that this is her first chance to show us that this will not be tolerated on this campus. Past presidents have waited and nothing has happened. But this is the first time that her presidency will make her legacy. This is the first time that she's being tested on this campus, and she needs to show reparations for the groups that are being hurt, but also the fact that this person deserves punishment and to set the tone. That's what this is. That's what presidency does. It sets the tone how future actions to put the fear in people that racism, nothing will be tolerated on this campus that does not create a welcoming environment. I want to say that, so thank you guys. And also, just saying, and I think Myra said it, Tristan said it, Joe said it, consistently we are hearing the same voices. And Irving challenged us to have everyone speak up. So I really want to hear from people, what does it mean? We just had a Breaking Bread last night. We just spoken about diversity on this campus. It's really time where that we really do start reaching out. And I continually have heard BSU and LAL to be reached out to, but there are other affinity groups as well on this campus that have been hurt. Maybe it hasn't been as publicized, but there are so many groups that are continuously hurt. And we need to stop just thinking it's black and white or it's brown and white. There are so many groups. And to realize that you hit at racism, you solve the problem for multiple groups. But we have to come out and really start to show, like, there's so many affinity groups that need help on this campus.
Representative Pollard.
Wow. Yeah, so I've had three different versions of the same speech down for them, but yeah, I hear you, Travis.
Of course.
All right, so, yeah, I'd also like to affirm everyone's talk today. There was a lot of more, but sorry. Okay. I guess really, what I really want to know is what happened to the Cornell administration that would prioritize one African American student's education and life over 500 white students. And that's something that President Paul talked about in her and under the speech. Why is it that the administration fails to address systems of exclusion and oppression and take actual stances on racism, xenophobia, and other isms? Someone's freedom of speech or political ideology, and when they infringe on other people's rights to live a life, no different than me or the president. Inclusion and dialogue do not function as a means of social change when those with power and privilege are not checked. Inclusion, diversity, and dialogue are appeasement policies. Students have been protesting college administrations about this, or to push for equity and justice for almost 60 years now. So whatever we do as the SA, I think needs to address this. We need to push for equity and justice.
We're gonna be limiting the speaking time to 45 seconds. So next up will be Representative Korn.
Guys, so one of the things that I wanted to say that I heard kind of be repeated a lot since we were talking a lot about Free Life. I'm not a member of Free Life, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that Free Life does not have any myriad of problems, including all of these we were talking about today. But I think we're blaming Free Life for this, we're taking the blame away from the individual who is responsible, because that person needs to have
accountable for their actions and their speech. And I don't think Greek Life pushed that person to do it. It was that person's own attitude and kind of their really bad judgment and just their lack of morality. So I think we need to put more pressure on individuals. And I really like the record today about the diversity requirements, stuff like that, re-looking at that. I also think we should look at, because I know Liz Polio mentioned yesterday at Breaking Bread, that basically orientation is the time you have all the students available. So we really should start implementing stuff at orientation time.
Okay.
I wasn't saying it's not. I'm just saying, like, I was in Greek Life, it's systematically Greek. I'm just saying, like, this person needs to help accountable.
I'm going to motion to suspend the agenda and move Resolution 7 up, and we can go back into this discussion after, but I think it's unfair to Haven not to pass the resolution now.
Second.
All right. I will be going into new business. Resolution 7 to the sponsors, please. Once the
all right, guys. So now to move on to something a little bit lighter. Now to move on to something a little bit lighter. Did you get that? Yeah. Okay, great. So I know I brought this up a little bit last week, but the Appropriations Committee convened 17 days ago. No. 10 days ago. About 10 days ago. And approved the Haven's amendments to their constitution. And so, you know, as per the Student Assembly Charter, any Byline-funded organization that makes an amendment to its charter has to have that approved by the Student Assembly at large. And so Resolution 7 is essentially us formalizing that process. This is something that we'll do regularly. So this is essentially, just to clarify for the new members of the Assembly, this is Haven proposed an amendment to their charter. They need the Student Assembly to approve that amendment. And the Appropriations Committee unanimously supported that amendment. And they are on board. The President and Treasurer of Haven are on board with this. So feel free to look it over. I can answer any questions, but this is definitely not the most contentious thing we'll be dealing with. So.
Motion to strike the second Haven on line 19.
Second. Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Okay. There's one more thing I wanted to add. Can I add it?
We still have 40 seconds.
Okay, cool. So the other thing, and this is just so no one gets confused, So in addition to submitting a charter amendment, Haven actually submitted an events. They wanted to create a new governing document called the Events Committee. And we actually sent that back to them with recommendations. And then they sent it back to me, but the Appropriations Committee hasn't had a meeting since they sent it back to me. And so we will review that at our next Appropriations Committee meeting. And so there's a chance that we'll have to, it's very likely that we're going to have to amend Haven's charter twice within the next month, just to keep their charter as updated as possible, consistent with their organization's internal governing documents. So I just want to try to keep everyone on the same page here. Let me know if anything I said was confusing, or if you want clarification, or if you don't really care. So.
There's no speakers in the cell.
Do we have to?
Is there any way we can do it together? Once, just hold off and then amend this.
No.
Okay. Then.
Point of order. There's really no benefit.
Okay. Well, I'm on Abcom. This is pretty simple. There aren't any major changes. So I would suggest that everyone accepts.
We approve the amendment.
Motion to move to business of the day.
Second.
Yeah.
Move to
question.
Yeah.
And move to vote. All those in favor of voting? So all those in favor, raise your hands.
Jane, can you just
wait,
say
wait, hold on. Okay,
no, this is
point of order. There was never a clear vote on taking this to business today, and I think Gabe still has comments. So I mean,
there's a motion for it.
I don't know. There was a motion then a second. Was this moved to business today? I don't
know. Yeah,
no, we're voting on stuff. That's what we're doing.
We're voting on moving to business today.
Oh, right.
We need to okay.
Okay. Motion.
Okay. Okay.
So, all those in favor of moving this to business today? By a vote of 17-0-2-1, we're going to move this to business today.
All right. Can I just kind of speak on that really quickly? So, yeah, so that's a discussion that we're welcome to have. Basically, we could vote on this now and approve their charter changes. Or we could wait like a week and vote on their like actual updated charter. My personal opinion is like I think it would be like maybe logistically a little bit easier if we were to just like wait. But I think that like we technically pass these as two separate things. Nothing in here is gonna really impact anything for the next week. So my opinion is let's wait. Motion to not vote.
I think I have a very important logistical question about what exactly the game means.
None of that.
All right, we're gonna vote to vote. All those in favor of voting, raise your placards, please. All those against? Abstentions? It's 8-2, 8-3.
Okay, so now you decide.
No, because it's
motion
to table.
Okay, so first off, for clarity, 8-8-3 means that there was a majority decision no, because abstentions are basically no's. Yeah, and then my dissent is that there's still discussion to be had. I mean, Kate was just speaking, so I think he has more to say.
Yeah, what's going on? Like, you should at least try to let me finish, like, the statement, and then you can close the discussion. Like, this is not that hard. Okay, so if we approve this now, what's going to have to happen is Jung is going to have to convey a resolution to the president, who was just here, and be like, Martha, we just changed Haven's constitution. And then, in a week, we're going to have to be like, Martha, we just changed her constitution. We just changed their constitution again. Like my opinion is, let's just wait, like, a week, and let's essentially direct Abscom, like, get this to us as soon as possible. Because, I'll tell you right now, they've already submitted their byline application with the charter that they had when they submitted it. So, like, that's the one we're going to be reading. And also, like, I don't know how many of you actually looked at these changes. They're, like, really, really benign changes. Like, this is not, like, a restructuring. This is, like, changing the syntax and the grammar. So, like, my opinion is, let's just wait on this for a week. Let's let the Appropriations Committee send us another, just the most updated version, and then we can send it to President Pollack in a week. That's my opinion. If you want to give President Pollack two messages in a row, you're welcome to do that. I think it'd be kind of confusing, and it'd be like it would give me something fun to say to Lavanya. Let me put it that way. So it'd be a fun conversation. Lavanya is the Haven president. So
motion to table.
Dissent. State your dissent.
Because I'm on Abscom, and this needs to be passed, and the other resolution is going to be passed. Like, it was horrible what they brought up. That's not. It's not going to be a week. It's small changes.
It's small changes.
There's no reason to discuss it either. Just to
I revoke my motion.
All right. So would we like to see what? I mean, would we like to see what? Yeah. If we wait, no, they're still going to be running as an organization. No, they will not, like, they will not, nothing will change. This is almost entirely formal, like a formality.
Dales and Spruces.
Three really quick things. One, you can't make motions like motions to vote while somebody is in the middle of speaking. It's not allowed or okay. You let people finish talking, then you can make your motions. Number two, quick question for Gabe. Is the other thing they're passing a separate document or is it another amendment to the charter? And number three, in terms of annoying Martha Pollack, the way that resolutions work is that they get passed by this assembly over time, about a week, they get uploaded to the website with any changes we made, and then sometime after that, Jung usually, or the president of the assembly, and yet this year, usually sends resolutions in groups with a message to President Pollack, or sends individual messages. And so it is very much okay that if we pass this week and the other one next week, or we pass them both next week, Jung can send them the same email regardless. So this is really just deciding whether or not we're going to have any reason to discuss them next week or the reason, or if we want John to pass them together. Because either way, they're going to be two resolutions that are going to have to be emailed to President Pollack, whether he does them from separate weeks. It's going to be two resolutions regardless. So that's all I should say. And back to the first question, if it is separate documents.
Is it back and forth?
Yes.
He's
the sponsor.
I'm making the primary motion, and so I...
So
technically, so to speak on the first issue, no. So Haven has, so okay, this is a very, I guess this is more complex than I thought it was. So Haven wants, like they had amendments to their charter that they wanted. Like Haven wanted to make amendments to their charter. And then they're also like, let's create an events committee with its own governing documents and let's like have that be a separate thing. And they're like, we want those two things. And so we brought them to APSCOM, and APSCOM basically decided, we like the amendment they're making to their charter, that's fine. The events committee needs a little bit of work. Let's send it back to them with some recommendations. And so I sent it back to them with recommendations. And then like 3 days later, because they were like reasonable recommendations, Lavanya, the president of Haven, sent me the updated version, you know, that they updated to change the events committee, and they made those amendments. But one of the requests that APSCOM made was to take their amendments, to take the constitution of the events committee and tack it on to their actual charter. So actually, all of this would be solved if the SA actually had the ability to like amend the charters of organizations while we're discussing them. That would just reduce all this redundancy. Right now, we can only do like an upvote or a downvote, and it has to go back. But that's neither here nor there. So essentially, the charter that would be coming—it will be coming—and it will be coming. The charter that will be coming from Haven would have no changes to what is written here, but the only difference would be that it would include the constitution of their events committee, which they want to create and have the changes as APSCOM has requested. Now to address Dale's second point.
Okay, can you limit it to like 30 seconds? You don't have to say Levaya, the hater president.
Okay. And so, yeah, the third point is once APSCOM passes that resolution, we could just reject this resolution if we kill it, and then approve the other resolution. And then that will have the exact same effect. Like, that would be the same thing. It would be less work for everyone. That's my opinion, like, based on what we should do. I'm trying to follow the rules to the T because it's important. The procedure that we would take to follow that would be
5 seconds.
Table this, reject it in a week, accept outcome and recommendation.
So, speakers, this is Becca. I'm going to limit everyone's time to 45 seconds.
Okay. I feel like, Gabe, you have not been listening to what just happened. This is a bullshit resolution. This makes benign changes, just like you said. So we can just pass it. This literally has nothing to do with the student assembly. It's Haven's constitution on APSCOM. The other resolution that they, other constitutional change they had was horrible. It's not going to get passed in a week. They're not going to make the right changes in 1 week to that entire constitution. This can get passed. We can move on to actual important business,
We just spent an hour listening to people crying about their identities being attacked, and you bring up bullshit resolution and prolonging it by talking about nothing the longest time in a monotone voice that's really hard to listen
to. So, wait, pause. That was very rude. That was just me. You don't need that. No, Becca, you don't need that. Okay, you don't need that. I've been trying very hard to help these organizations get everything in order for bylaw funding. You do not need to be rude about that. I'm talking. Okay. I have made it very clear what my recommendation is. Becca, you have interrupted me multiple times. My recommendation is table this resolution, and after you table it, the Appropriations Committee, I will ask the Appropriations Committee, Becca, you're welcome to disagree and create more bureaucracy if you want to. I will ask the Appropriations Committee to give Haven the respect that it deserves and pass its governing documents. My personal opinion is that we should have passed their governing documents when we had them. That is my opinion. The committee chose otherwise, and my job is to represent the opinion of the committee. I am sorry if you don't like the tone of my voice. But I will say it one more time, and then you guys can do what you want. Table this resolution, wait for the Appropriations Committee to send you the next version of this in a week, and then pass that one. That is what they would prefer. That is what is the most logistically sound thing, and that is what I will ask the Appropriations Committee to do. So that's my last recommendation. You can take that or leave it.
Okay, before we go to the next speaker, I just want to reiterate that decorum is very important. We need to respect our speakers, we need to respect each other for a proper functioning assembly.
So, a point of order, it's 6:30 now. Just to make this clear before everyone starts screaming, the meeting's ending, I'm going to motion a table. There is no up and down on tabling. You can only vote yes or no. Like, there is no voting to vote on table. If you don't want a table, just vote no when the vote happens, and then we can vote whether or not to vote on it. So, I'm motioning to table this.
Second.
All right, any dissent?
There's no, you have to just
vote. Okay, all those in favor of tabling. All those against? By a vote of 19-0-1, this has been tabled.
Yay! Yeah.
I explained to you.
All right, guys, we just talked about before.
Motion to extend the meeting by like 10 minutes from the return to the discussion.
Yes, we really need to get to the presentation. Dave, if you're okay, we'll have Myra's presentation first.
Yeah,
all right, you.
So I'm going to second her motion to extend the meeting to do whatever business we have to do by 10 minutes.
Yep. Any dissent? Joe.
Where's the student assembly meeting?
Willard Street.
Traditionally.
Yes.
What was the question?
Where?
Oh, generally.
Yeah.
I thought you were asking about right now. We're here.
There we go.
Yeah.
No, it's a really good like, stop. It's
unless we're okay with going
over
like five.
I mean,
we can't go past
exactly.
Gabe, can you do your presentation in 5 minutes? You also need more time.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, is there any dissent? We're adjourned. Yeah, I did.
Please put your new placards and your new binders in the front pocket so we know it's yours.
Wait, the new placards.
Well, it's the same placards. You all should have functional binders now.
She's the person. Well, I probably
get like. You did it right.
Yeah.
No, and that's why I'm saying, like, now I think now I'm going to be able to have more
space.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.